I don't know about you, but every time I hear the words, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, cannot be my disciple. It really disturbs me. I mean, don't we read that God is love, and he who abides in God abides in love, and love in him. And he who abides in love, God abides in him. And he abides in God. And the thing is that Jesus and God are all about love. As a matter of fact, to hate someone else basically goes against everything that Jesus and God teach us and stand for. I mean, sure, we are called to hate the sin, but to love the sinner. And so when you hear these words in which Jesus says, you have to hate your mother and father, your brothers and sisters, in order to be my disciple, it sort of becomes a little disturbing. And a lot of times, you know, the theologians say, well, you know, the problem is in the translation. That Jesus really didn't mean that you have to hate him. It's just, you know, we really don't have quite have the word or the meaning to do that. As a matter of fact, Matthew, when he sits there and tells the same story, rather than saying hate, he says, anyone who holds their mother or father in greater esteem than Jesus cannot be my disciple. And it takes on a little bit different meaning, a little bit less. But the thing is that Jesus wants to be very strong, and he wants to be very definite. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's got all of these people following him. And the question is, why are they following, even his disciples? And a lot of the reason is that they're following him because it's really nice to be a disciple of Jesus. There's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of perks. I mean, it's like, you know, sitting there and backing the right horse. And so because of that, you know, that Jesus sees that many of them, including the apostles, are maybe following him because of what they can get out of it. What it means to them, what it brings to them, the goodness. And yet, you know, he knows is that he is going to go to Jerusalem, that he is going to be laughed at, he's going to be crowned with thorns, he's going to be made to carry a cross, he's going to be crucified, died in a very terrible way. And he knows that, you know, to his followers, that this is going to be a real traumatic time for them. And that they're really going to have to sit there and question their faith. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And he realizes that if they don't sit there and say, is that to be a follower of Jesus means to abandon almost everything else and to dedicate ourselves to be a follower of Jesus. You follow Jesus in everything. Not only in the good times, but in the bad times. When it's difficult and when it's hard. And the thing is as we heard sort of in the first reading, that you know how often that worldly cares, worldly possessions, that when we start worrying about them, when we start thinking about them, and when they become so important, how easy it is to lose touch with Jesus, to lose touch with God. I'm sure we all know people who have been, you know, faithful followers of Jesus, and yet, you know, some tragedy strikes their life. Maybe it's a loss of a job, maybe it's the death of, you know, a spouse, a child. And because of that, it just really shakes their faith. It shakes their faith so much as all of a sudden they sort of give up. They give up on God. He says, you know, if God is so loving, if God is so big, how could he have let this happen? How could he have done this to me? And because of that, they sort of turn away from God, turn away from Jesus. I guess, you know, the whole question is that Jesus is telling his disciples that to be my true disciples, your commitment must be to Jesus and Jesus first and foremost, and even Jesus alone. Sometimes over mother and father, brothers and sisters and parents. You have to be sure to read the lives, are familiar with the lives of many of the saints, including St. Francis, whom, you know, Father Randy is very strong on being a Franciscan. You know, we come to realize that in a lot of their lives, that when their parents found out that they wanted to be a follower of Jesus, that they wanted to denounce and give up everything, to give up their worldly possessions, many times their parents said, if you do this, I'm going to disown you. Some of them, not only am I going to disown you, but I'm going to sit there and you to punish you. They put you in prison. Sometimes even to take your life. And so loving parents have sat there and told the child, you've got to make a decision. You're either going to be true to me or you're going to follow Jesus. And you know, as Catholics, you know, also many times, you know, I have dealt with and gave instructions to couples preparing to get married where, you know, they came from a very fundamental background. And a lot of times, you know, that their families were so opposed to this couple getting married that they said, if you marry a Catholic, you know, you're no longer part of this family. Not only is a Catholic, a Jew, a Black, or, you know, different people, different than us. That they have said, you know, if you sit there and marry that person, you know, we're going to kick you out of the family. And so the person is faced with a choice. That if you truly believe that God has brought us together, that God has blessed us, that God wants us to be together, then we have to choose. Do I follow God in my heart, or do I follow my family? And so we see that where, you know, yes, that sometimes in following Jesus and following God, we sometimes have to denounce it. We have to denounce those who sit there and try to teach us or to follow us to do things which God does not want, which is not part of God's life. And yet, truly, you know, if we really want to love, that we must, you know, sit there and follow God completely and totally and have Him as our first. Today we celebrate, you know, we celebrate this Mass for the living and deceased of the Hellinger's family. And I talked with Helen many, many times, and she was really concerned about her children, especially her sons. And her sons, because they didn't go to church. And she was really concerned and cared that, you know, they would go to hell. And it wasn't so much maybe that they didn't go to church. But the fact is that God was not important enough in their life. Jesus was not important enough in their life to really to walk in His way, to follow Him. And that caused her a great pain and a great hurt. And always was number one source of what her prayer was, to bring them to accept Jesus and to follow Jesus more closely. But the thing is that when we make Jesus and God number one in our life, when we truly commit to be His followers and His disciples, then we sit there and we ask, what is our relationship with our spouse, with our children, with our neighbors, with the stranger, even with people we don't agree with? And if we really truly are walking in the way of Jesus and the way of God, no matter who they are, how close they are, how distant, our actions are going to be one of love, compassion, forgiveness, giving, doing, accepting. It's going to be, you know, love. That we're going to treat others as we were going to treat Jesus or God, as we want to be treated ourselves, in love, in grace, and in holiness. And if we treat others in this way, truly, we will be very loving and the disciples of God, and we will be worthy to call his disciples. Because no matter whatever happens in our life, for good, for bad, for painful, or for joyful, that if we are followers of Jesus, that our faith will keep us secure. We will walk in the way, we will find peace even in the midst of pain and suffering, and find our way to God. May truly this week you walk in the way of God. Be a loving and good disciple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.